Hi, welcome to the River Talk podcast. This podcast, we talk about river rafting and kayaking and just river stuff. And Aaron Cavagnolo is once again the co-host today. Welcome back, Aaron.
Hey, Zach. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Thanks for being here. And we're doing this during halftime on the Niners game on Sunday, which has been an amazing game so far. Hopefully the Niners win.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, definitely. That would be fantastic. They need this. So.
Yeah, they do need this. Anyway, I want to start with news of the week. And I got a couple quick things. The big one is Senator Wyden here in Oregon is hosting a couple listening sessions next week. One on Friday in Portland. It's at 12:30. And there's one in Bend on Saturday. And he's proposing a lot of new wild and scenic rivers. Oregon now has 68 wild and scenic rivers. We have more river segments designated than any state. Alaska has more miles. And Wyden wants to pass Alaska. And so he's looking for proposals from Oregonians on new wild and scenic rivers to add to the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act. And so he's having listening sessions. So if you can make it, it's 12:30. I'll put a link in the show notes to where it is. I think it's at Mazama's in Portland. And then there's unfortunately it's during the daytime, but if you can make it and support his efforts to designate more wild and scenic rivers, that'd be awesome. And again, there's an event in Bend. So, and Aaron, I know you're living in Hawaii now, but you're kind of a Californian in my brain. How do you feel about Oregon just dominating California on wild and scenic rivers?
Oh, geez. Dominating. I wouldn't put that way. You're barely ahead in miles at the moment, if I remember correctly. You've got a lot more little stretches, cute little stretches. Yeah. But, just because the little creek out back, you give it wild and scenic river status. I mean, yeah, that's cool. But, I think it's fantastic that Oregon's doing this. And I hope California follows suit. I hope California gets competitive with Oregon and tries to get more, too. There's more and more pressure on these places, and it'd be nice to protect what we have that's still left out there. So I'm actually really excited that he's doing it and pushing this and bringing some focus to the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act and to protecting our rivers. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And your point's a good one about just naming a random 5 mile creek wild and scenic. It may not have that much importance because the main thing Wild and Scenic Rivers Act does is protect from dams. And a lot of these short 3-5 mile creeks are not threatened by dams. And so the protection is almost symbolic in a lot of ways.
Like, I think all the tributaries on the Rogue are pretty, right? That's not that big of a deal in the wilderness stretch on the Rogue.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually, the thing is where those tributaries are designated, it's not wilderness there. It's before the wilderness starts. Oh, that section
is not the wilderness section.
So it's out. If you designate a river wild and scenic within wilderness, it really does almost nothing. It does a little bit, but this is before, because you don't enter the wilderness until around Mariel. And so all these wild and scenic river designations are upstream. And so the designations help a little bit. They're going to help stop logging a little bit until that area is designated wilderness. But you're right. That's a lot of miles and, not a lot of, it's the protection is small, but it's there. For me, it's a river do you know about the River Styx?
No.
It's the only subterranean wild and scenic river. It's also the shortest wild and scenic river. I think it's 0.2 miles or something. It's in Oregon Caves National Monument in the Illinois watershed. Yep, it's in the Illinois watershed. It's designated wild and scenic. There's no way they're going to dam an underwater river, right? It's just not going to happen. Or underground river. So in that case, the designation is symbolic, and it's a way to celebrate the river and get us talking about it. And it shows that it's special, but the protection itself doesn't really do much.
Yeah, so, I'll say, Zach, the California senators would say we have more important issues to address than things of that nature. I think there's the tributaries of the Smith, and I've talked to some of the people working for Fine Sense office, and they were really excited about co-sponsoring a bill to protect the upper sections of that Smith watershed. So hopefully that'll be on Walden's list, that he comes up with. What is that?
I agree with you. I'm shocked because Wyden's one of the most powerful senators in the Senate. And I'm shocked he's taking time to do this, actually. I mean, he's busy doing a lot of different things. And so it's actually, I'm not shocked, I'm just like impressed that he's still working on this. And so the rivers where I think it makes a difference are those, the tributaries to the Illinois, like Rough and Ready Creek, Josephine Creek, those ones that are threatened by mining. These wild and scenic designations can provide some protection from future mineral withdrawal, future mineral claims. People can't make new, put in new mineral claims. So it does provide some real protection for those rivers. And so right next to the headwaters of the Illinois are the headwaters of the North Fork of the Smith. And we're going to propose one of the tributaries in Oregon, Baldface Creek, is designated as wild and scenic as well, which will provide some protection, but not complete protection, because the problem with the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act is it just protects the river corridor. And these are surface mining issues. So people, so it, although it protects mining in the main corridor, the real worry is people mining side creeks or even minor tributaries that aren't protected, and then that affects the main stem. So there needs to be more protection than just the wild and scenic protection, but it's a good first step. So I'm excited about it. And I don't know if
That's exciting.
Senator Merkley, our other Oregon senator, is working on a bill to extend the National Recreation Area up into Oregon. So for those of you that don't know, the North Fork of the Smith, the upper part in Oregon above the part people normally raft, is unprotected right now. The rest of the Smith in California is a national recreation area. And so right now there's a proposal to have the part in Oregon added to the recreation area.
Now, Zach, how does a recreation area protect that section of watershed more? Because I remember they made the Auburn recreation area because they're planning to build Auburn Dam.
Yeah, it actually is it does and it doesn't. And I don't understand the nuances of this one, but it provides some protection. But from what I understand, this recreation area actually encourages off-road vehicle use, which could be bad for some of these tributaries. So it's not it's it's there's a proposal to add at the National Recreation Area. It sounds really good. It will definitely add some protections, but it could there's also some negative impacts to that too. So I'm kind of undecided on that one personally.
Yeah, no, totally.
But I am supportive of Senator Wyden protecting more rivers of wild and scenic. Like, why not? If he has the time and energy and we have support, like, let's do it. So for those of you that can make that meeting next
Exactly.
Friday in Portland, that'd be awesome. I'll
Sweet.
be there.
Any other news of the week, Zach?
Yeah, the other thing is I'm working on a I was in Bhutan last month, and I have some guide friends over there that I've been trying to get over to the US, and we were doing an Indiegogo fundraiser to raise money to bring them over to the US to take International Rafting Federation training. And you took that training with me last year, Aaron. And I think it's amazing training, and I think it's really good for professional guides. And our friends in Bhutan, they've only learned bits and pieces from different international guides coming over and teaching them a bunch of different things. And now the main guides in Bhutan are teaching the younger guides. And we want to get them over to the US to take this training so that they can go back and, really understand what an international standards for guiding and the expectations. So right now we're trying to raise $4,000 to help pay some of their expenses to get them over to the US, take this training, and hopefully there's enough money left over so that Mara Kirst, who's the assessor, can then go to Bhutan next fall and do the final sign off so they can be instructors. So anybody out there that would be interested in donating $5 or $10 to this project, I'll put a link on the website in the notes to where you can do that.
That sounds great.
So, yeah, so far I raised $600, and our goal is 4,000. So every $5 and $10 donation would certainly help.
Sounds good.
So that's all the news I have. Do you have anything, Aaron?
Nope, nothing this week.
Yeah. Well, I think our topic this week that we wanted to talk about, you and I, when we get on the phone sometimes, bicker back and forth about which river's better, about a number of things. But I think we want to debate whether the Selway is better or the Middle Fork of the Salmon is better, which I'm sure is a hot topic. But before we do, Aaron, I just want to talk about what does it mean to be a better river? I do a lot of these like best of roundup articles, you know, the best 10 best whitewater rafting trips in the US or 10 best trips in the world. And every time I publish one, I get hammered, you know, by it. What do you think it means to be a better river? Or is there such a thing? Is one river better than another?
Well, Zach, I think through our conversation, through the conversation about the two rivers, a lot of that will come out. I think just by us discussing why one is better than the other, we'll talk about what makes a river the best river. Because I will say that I believe that both of these rivers are two of the best rivers in the world. You know, like for in terms of a multi-day rafting trip, yeah, we're talking, you know, about, you know, the cream of the cream. You know, like they are there. But I think there's just definitely a difference between that the level where the Middle Fork is and the Selway. You know, like the Middle Fork's like an A river. Yeah, it's one of the best. But the Selway is A plus.
All right,
It's on
whatever. We're
another
going to get
level.
into this in a second. But before we do, I just want to make the point that, like, there are some rivers that are better than others in terms of trips, right? Like, some people say, oh, there's no best. They're all good. It depends on who you're with, which, you know, that's true in a lot of ways. But, like, all things equal, you know, the Rogue is better than the Lower Klamath, right? It's just, you know, there's aspects of some rivers that make them better, you know, wilderness, water temperature, scenery, you know, you can actually say one river trip is better than another. You know, that you can have more fun on the Lower Klamath because you're with people you like more, people that are more fun, you know, than you do on the Rogue based on the group you're with or some sort of safety issue. But, you know, all things equal, some trips are better than others. You agree with me on that, right, Aaron?
Well, I'll say it's like some ski areas are better than others, and some are. But then if you hit the ski area on a if you hit any ski area on a great powder dump, you're gonna have an amazing trip. You're gonna be like, that's like the best ski area ever. And it's like, well, you just hit the conditions were just right. So I think like any river trip could be your best river trip you ever have, but it's not the best river, if that makes sense. Because like it's just there's all those different, like you said, there's all those variables outside the river itself that make a river trip a great river trip. And so I think that's a key point to distinguish between great river trip and a great river, you know. And I think we're, you know, and even like, yeah, and so I think we're discussing which is a better river to run, right? Like that's our topic of conversation today.
And so I've never done the Selway. So, you know, and you've done both the Middle Fork and the Selway, so you have a more educated opinion, probably. But I'm gonna bake my points on why the Middle Fork is a better trip.
Okay, let's go.
All
Let's
right,
go. So
first of all,
I mean,
wait, are you going
first
first
of all, can
round?
we just talk about what
Okay,
can we
go
just
ahead.
first talk about why both of them are great trips
Sure.
and get that out of the way just real quick. Just like, you know, I think both of them being free flowing rivers are really neat. I think that's really special about both those trips. Another thing about both those trips, I think they're really neat, is how you start high up in high elevation where it's a narrow, small, little almost creek. And by the end it's this huge wide river. And so both of those, like, I think those are really special experiences that you don't see. Oh, you know, that it's a rare to be able to have that type of experience where you can float down that type of terrain and cover that distance without running into any dams. Yeah, and then both being in wilderness areas also makes them spectacular. I think the list goes on and on, but those are just a couple of things. But anyways, so you can, why don't we just let you go? Go
I would
ahead.
add to
Why
that
is
they both have clear water, they're both good for fishing, and they're both original eight National Wild and Scenic Rivers. You know, so they're not only are they both
Yes.
in wilderness, but they're also two of the original first eight Wild and Scenic Rivers in the country. So they're basically two of our most protected rivers.
Yeah. Now, Zach, I will say the water quality on the Selway is much more consistently good than the water quality in the Middle Fork. It's way better. It's like it's noticeably better. Like you can have someone who's never done a trip before and they'd look at both of them and be like, oh, the water's way nicer here. And the water on the Selway makes the Middle Fork water look almost like going from the Rogue to the Klamath or something, or the Illinois to the
I mean, the
Klamath,
Rogue
I
and the
would say.
Klamath are both the same.
Yeah. So the Illinois or the Illinois to the Rogue. Let's put it that way.
That's not
It
that much of a
seems that.
difference. The Rogue, you
Oh,
can't
it
see
is.
the bottom of the river in
It
the
is.
Rogue. The Illinois is cleaner than
That's
the
what it feels
Selway.
like on the. No, the Illinois is not cleaner than the Selway, first of
There's no
all.
way the Selway is
And
cleaner than the Illinois.
it is. It
All
is,
right.
Zach. The Illinois, you've got a bunch of town. You got a town upstream of it. You've got the whole Illinois Valley full of farming
So you're
upstream of it.
saying, okay,
So
so you're
why?
saying that the Middle Fork is the, I mean, because a lot of people say the Middle Fork's the cleanest river they've ever seen. You're just saying
No
this
way.
always, okay, cool. So you're saying water quality is better.
The water quality is better on the subway. Cool. Like, I'll say that, like, without a doubt.
I'll give you that.
Definitely.
I agree.
Definitively yep. better.
Yep. Cool.
You agree. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the Middle Fork is a clean river. I know there's cleaner rivers out there, and I'm sure the subway is one of them.
And don't get me wrong. The water on the Middle Fork is gorgeous. It's really nice water.
Do the headwaters of the subway begin in Wilderness?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of it. Yeah, it's all in the Wilderness.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, any river that is where the headwaters begin in Wilderness is always going to be ridiculously clear. You know, the Middle Fork, yeah. Actually, some of the headwaters cross highways.
Mm.
You know, like Marsh Creek.
Yeah.
Crosses the, you to drive over on the way to put in, you know, so there's a little, you know, there's a little bit outside the Wilderness on the Middle Fork.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. So, okay. Water quality better on the subway.
Okay.
You know, you talked about both rivers being a part of the original eight wild and scenic rivers. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The Selway Bitterroot Wilderness area is 1 million of the original 9 million acres of the Wilderness Act.
That doesn't make the trip better. That's just a fact. That's a fun
fact.
Yes,
it does. Well, no, it's a fact that it does make it better. Because I think you're talking about an area that's been recognized since the late 1800s as one of the most pristine places in the entire United States. And they've maintained it pristine that whole time. I think that is a key aspect of it, is what you're floating through and where you are, how remote it is. It's a lot like Illinois. And, you know, we'll come back to Illinois, I think, a lot in this conversation. You know, like in terms of, I think the Kalamiopsis Wilderness area is less accessible than the Selway Bitterroot. But I'll say the Selway Bitterroot is way more remote feeling than going in the Frank Church down the Middle Fork. I think that's another advantage of the Selway.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about the Middle Fork that, you know, that takes away from some of the Wilderness feel is there are private withholdings along the Middle Fork that you see. There are airstrips that were there before the Wilderness that were grandfathered in. So, I mean, that's a good and a bad thing, right? Like the Selway, you definitely, I mean, do you see any lodges or anything on the Selway? I thought there was a lodge there.
There are. The Selway, there are private inholdings along the Selway too. There are definitely those along the Selway, and there's the airstrips, and there's public airstrips that people use, I'd say there's more flights there than I would prefer, you know, people flying in and out at times. But I'd just say overall, it has more of a Wilderness feel. And I think a lot of it has to do with the usage on the river. I mean, how many people launch per day on the Middle Fork?
I mean, 7 trips a day, each one I think could be 30. So theoretically, 210 people can launch a day.
In a day. In the Selway, you're limited to 16 total people per day.
Yeah, so this.
I mean that's almost you take all the people that launch in one day on the Middle Fork, and those people launch over 2 weeks on the Selway.
Yeah, so you're saying the Selway has that nice thing where there's like not many people out there, so it really feels like you're on your own. I'm gonna make the case that the Middle Fork is more accessible. You know, like more people can experience that place,
it is.
And that's actually in some ways an advantage. You know, the average person could theoretically do the Middle Fork. It's not as exclusive as the Selway, or it's hard to go do.
I'll agree with you on that. I'll say though is that I think that doesn't make it a better trip. You know that you're it's how do I say this? I don't know. Like it's like if you go out to the desert and you go to Burning Man, yeah, you're experiencing nature, but there's so many people around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but even though theoretically 210 people can do the Middle Fork a day, it doesn't feel like a zoo. It doesn't feel like, you know, you see other groups, but it's not out of control.
I would say after being on the Selway, it does feel like a zoo. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, compared to seeing nobody, it feels overwhelmed. But compared to the real world, like if you're like a person who lives in the real world and you go to the Middle Fork, you're like, wow, this is crazy. We hardly saw anybody all week. Versus the Selway, we saw nobody all week.
And that's why I say the Middle Fork's an A, the Selway's the A plus.
But I think
I'd say the Middle Fork's like the 94%, the Selway's like the 99%.
Okay, I'm gonna drop your percent here in a minute, but you know, keep going. What do you got?
I would just say, like for me, when I think about a river trip, it's not just about the river itself. It's like it's also about the drive to put in, the drive from takeout, the put in experience, the takeout experience, all those variables add in, you know, like over the years, Zach, we've done a lot of rivers together. And part of the fun for me, a lot of those rivers, is those drives into those canyons and getting down to the water. And the drive to the Middle Fork Wooden is gorgeous, for sure.
And the advantage of the Middle Fork on top of that is you get to meet in Stanley. You know, you get to go to this cute mountain town. There's fun things to do there. Yeah. You know, the Stanley experience is amazing.
I would say that is the one advantage. I hadn't thought about that before, but that is one advantage of staying in Stanley before going on the Middle Fork is spectacular. Now, in terms of access, being able to fly into Missoula to do a trip, that makes that really nice too. So I'd say in some ways that counters it, but in terms of the actual experience of being out there,
Missoula. Yeah, Missoula is this tiny little town in Montana. Is that? Yeah. It's a small airport.
No, it's a big. It's got a pretty big airport. It's pretty easy for people flying there. It's not flying into Stanley or Salmon, you know.
Okay.
But that being said, the road down the Selway to the Pudding is like it's really steep and narrow. You just feel like tight in there. You're following the river down. You got to fall it down from the top. So you're falling down from higher up as it gains water until you get to a spot where you can launch. And then when you get to the launch spot, you're the only ones there. You already have that wilderness experience. There's no one else around. It's just your four boats.
Yeah, which is cool for, you know, people who are introverts. But if you like people,
yes.
It's nice to have people to say hi to and put in.
Yeah, if you want a party, if you want the whole Burning Man sensation of just people everywhere, yeah, the Middle Fork's it. You want to
everywhere.
You want your guides to want like hang out and party with the other guides. They're always trying to see each other all day and pass each other's groups all day. Yeah, the Middle Fork's perfect for that. The Selway though, like it's rare we even see another trip on the river. Usually we see it on the layover day, which I think is another advantage of the Selway is, and I would love to see the Middle Fork somehow of this, is having a layover day scheduled as part of the trip is phenomenal. People love it. Having a day in the middle and being at that spot at Moose Creek where you can just access all these different trails and go hiking and fishing and exploring, just like there's so many options there. It's an amazing day and it makes for an amazing trip.
You can do a layover day in the Middle Fork. Here's my take on layover days, Aaron. People, before the trip, nobody wants a layover. Like, before the trip starts, if you're like, hey, we're going to do a layover day, everybody's like, that seems like a waste of a day. On a trip, people like layover days. When it happens, people are like, this is sweet. But before the trip, it's not something that people
want. Selling is hard.
Yep.
Also, I think on the Middle Fork, it's a little trickier because of the way you do camps there. And
you can do layover days on the Middle Fork. When the water's above 4 feet, you can do a layover day if you want. Because you have time.
And the Middle Fork, and I'll say there's not a spot on the Middle Fork where layover is as cool as a layover at Moose Creek.
Okay, I've never been to Moose Creek, so I mean, I'm sure it's cool.
You can hike to a fire lookout. You can hike up another drainage. You can hike down the river. You can fish there. You can fish the Selway. You can fish Moose Creek. You can go up to this historic ranger station with the landing strip up there.
There's ranger stations, fishing, and hikes on the Middle Fork too. Like all those things exist. They exist on the Rogue. They exist, everywhere.
Not all in one spot.
You can fish and hike the lookouts from places on all kinds of rivers.
Okay, where on the Middle Fork can you hike to a historic ranger station where they had the first smoke jumpers launched from? Where you can also hike same spot. You can hike from that same spot and you can hike up to a fire lookout. You can hike to epic fishing in side creeks. Where can you do all? Where can you do all that?
Does it have to be a fire lookout? Can it just be like a cool hike?
And you can hike downstream and check out the Moose Juice, the biggest rapids on the river. That would be like, you know, the camp at the top of Impassable Canyon. And from the top of Impassable Canyon, you could hike down, check out all the big rapids. You could also hike up Big Creek, and then you could also hike up to a fire lookout, and then you could hike to this old ranger station that has all this historic information up there.
You mentioned Big Creek, I mean, that I would say laying over there is pretty amazing because there is a historic ranger station up Big Creek. You can hike up Waterfall Creek from Big Creek, and you know there's amazing. It's a beautiful hiking up there, but Waterfall Creek and the fishing on Big Creek is amazing.
You could lay over Big Creek,
not with a large group, but there's a camp there. The small group can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the type of thing you're talking about. Like, I think if that was a really, really nice camp, a camp where you'd be like, got great shade, and the people who don't want to go anywhere, they get to hang out there all day.
Okay, so Aaron, your point, you're claiming the subway's better because there's a particular camp that you lay over at, and you can do a lot of cool stuff.
There's like three camps in that section that are all amazing.
Okay.
And then, Zach, the other thing is, when you do that layover and you go hiking around there, there's all sorts of amazing berries. The huckleberries and the wild strawberries and the thimbleberries just go
berries? Off. You're telling me the subway's better because of berries?
Well, you haven't tried them. They are incredible.
Right. What else you got?
I look forward to like, every year. I look forward to like going back
to berries. They're okay.
The here's
Czech Republic
the next
is all they're hearing is like there's fewer people. There's some cool hikes and there's berries. Like, do you got anything like good for me, or are we just gonna get down this route?
Well, I say the wildlife sightings on the subway I've had have been unbelievable. For example, last summer did three trips. The second trip, we had a mountain lion swim across the river just upstream from our camp in the morning when we were rigging our boats, getting ready to go. The trip after that, we had a wolf come down to the river and drink from the river pretty much right in front of us as we were floating by. And then, I mean, you're consistently seeing big salmon in the river in the lower section. You know, you've got the normal bald eagles, osprey, all that good stuff going on. We see a lot of beaver out there. We've seen moose on the river. I mean, just the lots of white-tailed deer all the time. Bear,
that's super
you
cool.
See bear.
That's super, so the moose, the mountain lion, and the wolf. That's cool. I definitely that's a rad. That makes the subway super cool. I've never seen any of those things on the Middle Fork.
Now we don't have the bighorn sheep and we don't have the mountain goats.
Oh well, there you go.
So what makes the Middle Fork better, Zach?
All right. So here I got three main things for you.
I'm ready for it. Yeah, go for it. Okay.
One is it's a trip that pretty much anybody can do. You know, the subway, because of the harder rapids and because of it's so remote, it's not something that just anybody can do. You know, kids as young as 7 can do the Middle Fork. People in their 70s and 80s can do it. It's not stressful. It's fun, though, still. So I think it just being more accessible to the average person is kind of a big deal. Any argument? Yeah, no argument there. I got you there. The next thing
I was going to leave you all three, but
okay.
We can just address them one at a time.
No, I'll say
the older people, the younger is like, yeah, we're hesitant. I mean, it's not a kid's trip. You know, it's a wilderness trip and it's a wilderness experience. And it's not like let's play on the beaches and do things like that type of trip. So
I just think accessibility for the average person is a benefit of a river. I think the Rogue is great because anybody can do it. You know, it's what makes it a great trip. So one of the things that makes a Middle Fork a great trip is it's something that anybody can do. And then if you want to do it and be challenged, you do it in like June or you take an inflatable kayak or, you know, something or whatever.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Zach, is like, I think other than the kids, though, the adults, we take all those same adults on the Middle Fork. We don't take them on our high water trips, but we'll take them on lower water trips.
Yeah.
Which is, so they can.
So I just think it's more accessible for the average person. Also, it's just, there's more availability. I think availability, you see it as a downside. I see it as like, man, people can actually go on the Middle Fork. The subway, it's like sold out with outfitters for 2 years ahead of time. Getting a permit is incredibly hard. I think that's a bummer. It's a downside that people can't do it. But I know you see it as an upside because there's fewer people that do it, it's more exclusive.
If you plan a year or two in advance, you can get to go. Like there are trips that weren't filled out last year. I know Jerry Hughes, he was looking to fill his trip still last year during the season.
Yeah,
and it costs about the same as a Middle Fork trip. The costs are comparable. It's a day shorter.
And one of those days is a layover day. So one day you're sitting around on your butt. So it's really 4 days of boating for the same price of 6 days in the Middle Fork.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. No, if you want, you could do a 6 day trip out there. Ari does a 6 day trip. So there's options 6 days. That's two days of sitting around, as you call it.
I mean, when you're at home, you're like, man, I'm gonna go on vacation. It doesn't sound appealing.
Wait, Zach, are you not a fan of layover days then? Is that what I'm hearing?
As a guide, I love them because you just do nothing. Right, you like cook some meals. You don't have to set up camp. It's easy. So as a guide, yeah, guides love layover days. Do I like layover days in general? Yeah, I think I do. But I also recognize that, you know, Americans' time is valuable, and they want to do and see as much as they can with a little bit of time that they have. And so I think I'm gonna interrupt you. I'm really busy right now in my life. I have a lot going on. When I go to look to schedule, for me, if I was going to go do a private trip, I'm like, I'd rather bust it out in 4 days because I got to get back and do stuff than sit around camp all day. Now, that's what I'm thinking at my desk right now. When I'm on the river, I'm probably like, let's do 3 layover days.
Yeah. Well, and Zach, I think historically your attitude is right, but I feel like there's been a change in the last 5 years. And just talking to people selling trips, I've noticed people are much more into hanging out. They're not into like, go, go, go. I got to do as much as I can with my time off. They're more like, dude, I just need some time off to relax and to regroup. Because I think everyone's just getting things are intense out there. And so I've noticed people are much more into hanging out and relaxing than they used to be. And there's less of this need to like go do everything all the time. And so I feel like there's been a switchover. And actually, I would like to see, and I think the river industry would be more successful if they found a way to have layover days on more trips. I think people would really like it. Man,
I sell a lot of river trips. If I tell somebody ahead of time there's going to be a layover day, they're not happy. Like when we do the Lori Lewis trip, the bluegrass trip on the Rogue, it's a 5-day trip with a layover. Even the morning I meet the people, I'm like, hey, we're going to do a layover, you know, on this trip. They're like, oh, really? Like people don't want layover days. When the layover day happens, they're all like, oh, that was so smart. You know, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, like ahead of time, people don't want that.
I think though that's starting to change. And I think selling it as like, hey, what we find is when people get out on the trip, they're like packing your stuff up every day and unpacking it every day can be a little bit exhausting. It's nice to have one day in the middle where you're not packing or unpacking. You're just hanging out, fishing, reading, going for a hike.
So I think that argument works well in the subway.
As long as you've got good activities for them to do, as long as your guides see, Zach, where the problem is if your guides aren't willing to put the work in on that day, where they're just like kicking in camp and putting their feet up. If your guides are willing to do the work in and like help getting people to have fun activities and showing them how to like make the most of that day, it's an amazing day and people love it. But you have to have good guides.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just say, hey, guys, go hiking that way, like have fun on your day. We'll see you at dinner. The guys have to be actively involved. But I'm also talking about private trips too, right? Like people to do private trips, you know, a lot of times they don't want to add like a 7th day to the Middle Fork trip just to have a layover day. Like they want to do the river and get home. And so I think the layover day is ahead of time before the trip. It's hard to sell, even to private trip friends. During the trip, people typically love it. I think, you know, with the Sellway, it's built in. You're going to have a layover day. Like you're told, like you're doing a layover day. That's how it's going to be. And so people accept it. If I started running Rogue trips as 5-day Rogue trips of the layover day, my sales would be down by like 30-40% because that extra day would keep people from booking that trip. And like,
yeah,
I've tried it.
I mean, you've tried it too on the Rogue. Yeah. It's interesting. Well, I think it might be worth revisiting at this point because I feel like mentalities have been changing. Just like the attitude when I talk to people on the phone the last couple of years, I feel like, and just what I've seen, what people say on the river is different than what I'm used to hearing them in the past. Like I feel like on the Tuolumne, the 2-day, the 3-day trips are way more popular on the Tuolumne the last few years than they were the last 10 or 15. That's interesting where I'm seeing more interest in 3-day trips on the Tuolumne. And I was really surprised by that actually. And I was like,
yeah, that's good to hear.
And people are just more like, oh, I just want to hang out. Like if we're going to go all the way to get there, we want to enjoy our time there. And I think that's something that people are looking for more. So
I'm not seeing that, but Zach, I'm glad to hear you are. Let's get back to why the middle fork's better than the subway. Yeah, so
sounds good.
First of all, my first one, what was it again? Was it just that like it's more accessible?
Yeah, it's more accessible to more people. Okay, and then now we're going to talk about skin chips.
We'll talk about hot springs because hot springs are
skin
awesome.
Chips.
What are they called?
Skin chips.
What does that mean?
Skin chips.
Yeah.
Little chunks of skin that are in the hot springs.
Oh, geez.
How many people launch a day? 210 people launch a day. Like the best hot spring down there is Loon. It's a beautiful hot spring. But after 200 disgusting people have gone in there, with all their like sunscreens and stuff, and there's like this layer of like nastiness over the top. It doesn't seem very sanitary to me. It seems kind of disgusting, actually.
Man. Well, I mean, maybe there is people's skin, I guess, in the hot spring. I've never heard of this at Loon, but you can also just jump in the creek and wash off. So that's kind of nice. But I would say the best hot spring is probably Sunflower where you can stand under a hot spring waterfall, which is pretty cool. So there's, you know, the hot spring, yeah, people cool love hot springs.
That's a cool hot spring. That's a cool hot spring.
And when people are on the trip, you know, the real world where there aren't hot springs, there's just, you know, when you go in the wilderness and you can like sit in a hot spring pool next to a river, it blows people's minds. It's a special thing. So that's another thing that makes the Middle Fork, I think, better than the Selway. And I think the in my mind, the one thing that really separates the Middle Fork is the Impassable Canyon. Like this Selway, as I understand it, just goes through a beautiful forest. And the Middle Fork has the beautiful forest. It has like the open desert area. And then it goes through a huge dramatic canyon at the end. And that scenery is just unparalleled, almost in the world. And so I would say that the Selway not having that dramatic finish, it doesn't make it a 99. It makes it like a 93.
No, I disagree. I would say the finish through why am I going blank on the names of those trees? Oh, gosh.
So I'm saying it's forest. There's some forest. You go through some forest. That's cool.
Well,
but it's not like the you have to admit, it's not like the Impassable Canyon.
No, it's better.
Oh, come on.
It's better.
All right.
Yeah.
Tell me why it's better than the Impassable Canyon.
I mean, where it's cool. And there's like forest, like basically overhanging the river almost. I mean, how often do you see that? Thick forest on a multi-day trip? And, you know, like you get some up high on the Middle Fork like the first day. And that part's really cool, but then you're done with it. And the Selway, it definitely changes character as you go down. And then I'm really struggling today with the lower. What are those types of trees? Oh, man. Cedar. The cedar. Yeah, the cedar and the lower canyon are just extraordinary.
So you're telling me that cedar are better than like 2,000-foot vertical walls on both sides of the river?
I think there's a warmth and a calmness in the float out on the Selway that is just it's hard to explain. Like these beautiful pools, it's very calm. It's a really nice way to end your trip. I feel like that's one of the things is the Selway. You go down, your first day, you're running a bunch of fun rapids, and then you camp. Next day, you've got some fun rapids off on, but not too many, and you get down to camp, layover. The next day is when you run all the huge rapids, like biggest day of whitewater round. It's amazing. And there's like steep cliffs in there, and it's very dramatic.
I'm sure
going
there's steep cliffs, but there's not the Impassable Canyon.
But then the last day, Zach, when you float out the last day, there's a couple of nice little rapids, but just a calm Mr. Rogers type of ending, just a very like low key, just like, man, this has been an amazing trip. It's a really nice way to end your trip.
So
take out, it's all calm. There's no one else around. You're by yourself. You just hang out this beautiful beach and then you drive down the Selway and you get to drive up the Lock Saw. It's just a very relaxing end to a trip versus you get out to the main and it's like, there's just a lot going on. It's busy. People are rushing all over the place. It's way more overwhelming.
So the main point I'm hearing from you about the Selway advantage is there's just fewer people around. That's what I'm hearing. It's just the advantage is just mellow and you don't see many people. That's the theme I keep hearing.
Well, I think the forest and the water quality, the forest there is just unbelievable. The water quality is phenomenal. The hiking is way better than the hiking on the Middle Fork.
How dare you?
Yeah. The rapids are way more challenging, more interesting than on the Middle Fork. The river is just more interesting.
I understand,
river.
Like if you're a whitewater aficionado, like if your thing is rapids, I get how you can like the Selway more because from what I understand, it has more challenging rapids. But that's not everybody's cup of tea. Like people don't always do river trips just because they like.
Well, I mean, if you want to go float the Maine salmon, go float the Maine salmon. You know, that's a beautiful river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the final thing I just want to – the case I want to make for the Middle Fork to kind of play off your whole – you finish out like Mr. Rogers is the thing – I think one thing that makes the Middle Fork special, I think 6 days is like the ultimate length of a river trip. I feel like at the end of 6 days, you want more, but you've been out there for a while. I think it's like the ideal length. And I love the Middle Fork for that. And I think that last day, which has actually the hardest rapids, that last bit of the Impassable Canyon – it's just such a high. You finish on such a high. And so I think the trip, you know, starts off with a bang, actually, if you start at Boundary Creek. But then from Indian, it just builds every day. and it ends in a crescendo, and you end on such a high because, you know, you've been out there for so long, and you finish with the best rapids and dramatic scenery. I really like the way, the pace of the trip, that it finishes strong. And I get that, you know, you hit the main salmon, and it's like 4 miles of, there's a road there, and you see people, but, you know, what can you do about that? It's not that bad.
And the takeout, and the takeout where you take out there is just not a nice spot.
Yeah, it can be hectic. There can be a lot of people there for sure. I mean, that definitely, like, that takeout should be bigger. Like, they should make that bigger and
you guys,
whatever.
Do you guys take out? Yeah, take it. Do you take your people out at the ramp, or do you take them out at the confluence?
No, we go down the ramp.
Yeah, I think it's neat to turn the corner and float the rapids down the main. I think that part's fun. It's just a lot busier, and the trucks are going by and everything like that. And there's just a lot of people around. And I think
real world.
And I'm going to say, Zach, for me, going, the purpose of these trips and the purpose of going to a wilderness area, to be in a wilderness, to be immersed in wilderness, you know, and like, and not have all that human sounds and that human interactions going on, to minimize.
Yeah, even though that's not at the takeout on the subway, you do go back to a town. Like, you do eventually get immersed back in that stuff.
Yeah, you do. And the other part, Zach, I'll say about it is, when you've got a trip that's 30 people versus a trip that's 16 people, it's a much more intimate group. It's much less, you get to know everyone.
There's advantages and disadvantages to both. I mean, I get that 16 people, including guides, right? On the subway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's intimate. I think sometimes, you know, having a large group allows for a lot of, like, everybody to have more social connections with somebody that matches them too. There's more opportunities to meet people. So, I think
if you're a really social person and you're going on a river trip to have a Club Med experience or something like that, yeah, the Mill Fork's way better.
Club Med.
You know, to hook up and meet somebody.
Oh, geez,
yeah, there's like 200 people. You're locked in with 200 people every day. You know, like it's much more.
Theoretically, 200 people. It's not always 200. I mean, that's how high it can be, but that's not how many there always are.
Yeah, and then I mean, the thing is, like, you just don't see anybody, and then like the people you have, you do get to know the people better, and it's like, and I think as a guide on the trip, it's much easier for me to on a commercial trip to make the trip around the needs of the group. It's so much easier to do that when you have a group of 12 people that you're trying to, 12 people, and you got 4 guides. It's like, yeah, what do people want to do? We can meet everyone's needs so much easier. It's not nearly as challenging.
I mean, you're right. The more guides per person, you as a guided trip, you can provide a better trip. That doesn't make the subway a better trip. Like we're talking about whether the subway, the Middle Fork are better river trips. The ratio of guides to guests is like, that's just a different discussion.
It's not even just the ratio of guides, because it's the size of the group, I think. Because like,
and
as
you
a
like
trip leader, 16, you're one
you
trip
think
leader.
16's
you
the
can't
best
do
size.
Everything. Yeah. I think 16 is pretty ideal size, actually.
I'm in the
terms
business
of, like,
of running.
Not for profit, but I would say if the Middle Fork went to 16-person trips, I think it'd be amazing. I think the Middle Fork would be a way better trip. If the Middle Fork, they only had one launch per day and 16 total people per day, oh my God, it would be epic. Epic.
If that's the experience you want, if you want to see fewer people.
If you want a wilderness experience in the wilderness.
Oh, geez. It's still a wilderness experience, Aaron. What you want is the far end. You want to see nobody at the put-in, the drive-in, on the river. You want to share with as few people as possible, and you want to see nobody take out.
I don't want to pull over on the side of the river to go use an outhouse.
Okay, and that's, are you saying that that's on the Middle Fork? There's outhouses on the Middle Fork?
Yeah, on the at Indian Creek, there's the outhouse
there's
there at Indian
one.
Creek.
There's one outhouse. But what I'm hearing is your main point about the subway is there's clear water. There's not that many people the whole time. It's a small group. And that's what makes it better. My point about the Middle Fork that makes it better.
I also said the rapids are more fun. I would say it's more of a wilderness experience. It's more remote. The wildlife viewing is better. And what else was I saying?
I don't know. All I heard was fewer people.
And there's an outstanding place for a layover.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and you're not. You know what the other thing, Zach? You're not getting run down by sweep boats all the time. We were like out of control, barreling down the river.
You're going deep here.
No,
okay.
No. And then Zach, on the same note, you're not sitting there eating lunch, and then some jackass rolls up in his sweep boat to camp tonight and starts unloading stuff in the middle of your lunch spot.
Oh, man.
It's just like, dude, it's not even noon yet, bro. Your people aren't going to be here before us. Chill out.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, yeah. No, I think it's just all that stuff. You know, you're just
all,
not,
so
you're
all having, of your issues. So all of your issues are social. All the things that you think the subway's better are social things. I'm just going to make my final pitch is what makes the Middle Fork special is that it's a trip that anybody can do. It has hot springs. It finishes in a dramatic canyon that's unique to the world. And it's a great length and pace of a trip. Those are my arguments why the Middle Fork is.
I think
the Middle Fork is the best trip in the world.
Better.
What?
I know, it's convenient. You're an outfitter on the Middle Fork, Zach.
If you
were an outfitter on the Selway and not on the Middle Fork, you'd be like, the Selway is the best. If you were an outfitter on the Grand Canyon, you'd be like, the Grand Canyon's the best trip.
Yeah, I mean, you got me there.
I agree with you, Zach. The Middle Fork is a great trip. Having said that, like if I had an opportunity to take my brother on one trip and he'd never do another river trip ever, and he's only going to do one multi-day river trip, I would choose the Selway. You know, and I think that to me is that's how I judge actually that like the trip is like you can take this person on one trip. What trip would you take them on?
But I think
the hot springs are cool for sure.
But Aaron, if I said I want to take my family on one river trip, would it be the Subway?
I'd be the Rogue.
Oh, the Rogue is great too. I'm just saying, if you want to take your family, like your aging parents, you know, a trip where they can like run the rapids, they can get around. Kids want to come. The Middle Fork is that trip.
I think if they're 7 years old, I take them on the Rogue. If you've got kids, the Rogue is the best. The Rogue's by far the best trip for kids, for families. It's like without question. I think the Middle Fork's good, but the Rogue is the best.
It's true.
I'd run the Rogue in the Selway, I'd say. Yeah.
But the Middle Fork, you're like, that's not good enough for my family.
No, not my family. But you know, like, who would I take on? Like, if I had a big party, of people who wanted to go and hang out and like have cocktails and just talk and socialize, yeah, I would do a Middle Fork trip. You know, I think it's a classy trip. I think it's got a lot going for it. It's a very social trip from what I've seen. You know, you have camp set up before you get there. So you're like, oh, cool, our camp's set up. We're here. Yay.
Well, I mean,
now we can hang out.
That doesn't have anything to do with the river trip itself because camp isn't always set up. You're working for Arda. You launch with Far and Away. So you see like what Far and Away does and they just throw up this amazing camp. I mean, I don't think that's always the case for all outfitters, and it's definitely not the case for private boaters. I think, you know, we're talking about the best trip. I mean, we've kind of been focusing on commercial boating because that's what we do on these rivers typically. But from a private boat perspective, your camp isn't set up.
Here's the question, Zach. If you asked a private boater, hey, you can go on a Middle Fork trip with me. You can row a boat along on a Middle Fork. You can row a boat on a Selway trip. Which one are they going to choose?
They're going to take the Selway. Do you know why? Because boaters like harder whitewater. One, they're like, oh no, I want to be challenged more. And two, it's harder to get a permit. If it's because it's so exclusive, everybody's always going to take the Subway. People like exclusivity.
Maybe that's why I like it. I guess I'm a little bit of a snob, and it
you
just
are
like,
a snob. Yeah. This is all snobbiness. I'm keeping it real over here, Aaron.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish this up. Niners are probably playing again. Let's finish this up.
Yeah. We got to finish this up.
Go on to gear of the week.
All right. Ready to gear of the week? Should I go first?
Go for it.
Okay. So my gear of the week is zinc oxide sunscreen. which may seem like, what, zinc oxide? But there's a couple of reasons. First of all, you know, I'm living in Hawaii now, and a lot of the sunscreens are damaging the coral and causing a lot of problems. Even the nano zinc oxides are causing problems for the coral. So just plain old zinc oxide. And if it's causing problems for the coral, it's probably causing problems for rivers and other natural bodies of water, first of all. And the second thing is it's actual block. So it blocks the sun versus those others, the other stuff you put on your skin. It causes a chemical reaction on your skin, which just kind of creeps me out. So big fan of zinc oxide.
Okay, cool. So you're saying, so how does it do in hot springs?
Zinc?
Yeah.
It probably leaves the film just like everything else does.
Okay. My gear of the week are Mirror coffee mugs. Have you seen those before? It's MIIR coffee mugs.
No.
They're really nice. They're double wall insulated. They have a nice outer feel to them. We have some custom mugs for sale in case you want to buy some with our logo on them. Just throwing a little advertisement out there. But in general, but they're sweet.
www.nwrafting.com for
it's
those,
actually,
right?
It's actually, no, it's my.nwrafting.com because it's on our reservation thing. Anyway, they're just sweet mugs. You should check them out. They're high quality. They cost like 20, 30, 40 bucks each, but they're high quality. They give money back to charities. Every cup has a stamp on the bottom that says the charity that the money went to. They're pretty cool. So we're checking out. And we have a bunch of logoed ones for a company that we gave to a lot of our guides and certain people. And everybody that has one is like, this thing, they love it. And they use it all the time. And when they lose it, they immediately call us to get another one. It's they're definitely wow. Cool mugs. So they were checking out.
Wow. Sounds good.
Yep. I'll have to sell you one at a 10% discount, Aaron, if you want one. Do you drink
10% off.
Yep. Do you drink coffee?
No.
Okay, you don't want one.
I find it. I find being a coffee drinker like impacts my ability to go do cool stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. Probably.
You know those coffee drinkers are always like, oh, I gotta stop and get my coffee. You're like, dude.
Yeah. The
powder's good right now. The surf's going off right now. What really? We have to stop to get you your coffee before going to do this cool thing or in the morning. They're like, they're all whiny because they didn't have their coffee, and then they just no.
I'm that person.
No coffee for me.
I'm that person.
I know.
I almost look forward to getting my coffee as much as I do kayaking. It's like, hey, I'm going kayaking today. Oh, awesome. I get to stop along the way and get a coffee. Like, it's part of the experience for me.
I remember that when we did the IRF course, how you were sending your guides on a mission to get coffee.
Yeah, it's fun. All right. Well, before we miss the second half of this game, let's finish it up. Aaron, thanks for joining me today. And hopefully Eric and I are going to try to do it. Eric and I are in a meeting this week. We're hoping to do an episode from the meeting in Salt Lake City. Thanks for joining us.
Right.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll see you next time. All right.